Happy 50th birthday, WPLR. Today on the podcast, I'm very excited to talk to Kristen Okeson. She is the vice president of the VP market. I'm not very good with the titles, but I know there's a lot of words in it. And she basically runs the entire state of Connoisseur radio stations. So she's vice president. Oh, you know what? It's vice president market manager for Connecticut, for Connoisseur Media. That's six radio stations, including WPLR. What was your day like today?
I had lunch with Dick Ferguson and Kim Guthrie and Steve Goldstein. So that was good.
You are shitting me, because I was going to bring those guys up later on.
Yeah.
Kim Guthrie, who is she?
Kim, when I was hired, was, I think, a regional manager for a bunch of radio stations. And then she worked her way up to president of Cox Media Group, running all the TV and radio stations. So she hired me because we were owned by Cox at the time. And now she is semi-retired, I guess. She's left Cox and doing some consulting work on the side.
She, if you've been in radio for 5 minutes, you know that name, because it's such a big name. It's like,
yeah. Well, I always joke that I sit at the same desk that both Dick and Kim sat at. So it's good luck.
Yeah. Good. Right. And Dick Ferguson, another legendary radio figure.
Yes. Dick, you worked with Dick. I never actually worked with him, right?
Yes. Dick was part of the team that brought AJ and I in.
Right. That's what I thought.
So he was another.
So I always just knew him. He's just been a wonderful mentor to me, and just, you know, incredibly smart in life, but also radio. And he was always the guy, and is always the guy you can call and ask any radio type question, and he's got a good answer.
He's one of those guys. He pulled money together, bought WEZN. He has WPR roots that I didn't realize.
I think he has roots at every radio station in America, right?
Yeah, you're probably right. And then Steve Goldstein, another guy who was a whiz kid, became program director of a Hartford station at a very, very young age, went on to New York City, and then became this giant radio programming guru for Saga Communications.
Yes. And now he runs his own podcast company, which the thing about Steve Goldstein is, and that you probably have a hard time believing this, but I've actually never met him. So I've always heard so many great things about him. And so I was invited to this lunch today where I finally got to meet him.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it was a treat.
Oh, yeah. He's a great guy. He's a guru.
And he's a big fan of yours, by the way. That was one of the first things he asked, was how you were doing. And he's a big fan of the show.
I love him. And I, this has happened so long ago, I could talk about it. And it wasn't with this company. It was with another company. So he was looking for a morning show in one of his bigger cities. AJ and I were on Long Island, and the short story is there's only twice I walked on a jet plane and the door closed behind me and the engines fired up when I sat down. It's really a cool fucking feeling. And one of those times was they sent the Saga Communication jet out to fly me and AJ out to this radio station. And we got on this plane and the door closes and the engines fire up and we take off. We're like, wow, we're rock stars. We didn't take the job. Actually, we were their plan B for a show that was negotiating really hard and about to go across the street. So it never worked out, which is good, because like 8 months later, WPLR came knocking.
Yeah. It all worked out.
It all worked out.
But yeah, so I had a great afternoon. It's a pleasure to be included within that circle.
That's a power lunch.
Yeah. I get to learn a lot. I just do a lot of listening.
That's the best way.
Yeah.
So you're vice president, market manager of Connoisseur Media in Connecticut. How many people are in our building?
Full-time and part-time, in and out throughout the week, it's probably around 70.
That's a lot of people to worry about, a lot of departments to worry about. Do you ever wake up in the morning and just think,
No. I mean, look, as you know, we have really, really good people that work here. So that's what, like, allows me to sleep at night, right? There's, of course, there's lots of issues we have to work through. And especially things I'm not familiar with, like sales, even when we're having a bad revenue month, at least it's something that's my roots, right? So I know, I understand the problem. I don't always understand how to fix it, but I know we have really good, capable people. We can talk through it. But when there's like an engineering problem, you know, that's, oh. I got nothing. So when you know, it depends on what's going on at the moment. But for the most part, I sleep really well at night knowing that things are handled because we have such a great team. I don't know, it's magical. Like I feel very fortunate to work with the people that we work with. It's, if you just think about the different departments, like take Drew, for example, right? And like how Drew lives and breathes WPLR, knows more about the radio station probably than you and I, right? I mean, he's just so passionate. It's hard to find that.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go through these departments that you oversee. So you mentioned sales.
Yeah.
All right. So that's all of the income. That's all of the commercials that you hear on the air.
Yeah.
So how does that work? What do you do? Just tell salespeople to go out and sell stuff? Or what do you, how does that work?
No, I mean, look, we're selling air, right? That's not easy. It's intangible. It's a difficult to do. But I will say, in my entire career of selling radio, there's not one station that's easier to sell than PLR, right? When you talk to a client and you say, I work here, there, whatever, and they say PLR, it's like much easier to have a conversation about selling them something. So, you know, I'm so grateful for that. But yeah, we have four sales managers for all of our stations, and
there's
six stations. And Stu is in charge of PLR. That's,
by the way,
know, one of his.
He and I were puppies together at the radio station. He went on and went around, did his tour. I went around, did my tour at different stations, and we're both back. But he's been doing this for a long time, and he's a PLR guy. He cut his teeth in PLR.
Yeah. And you think about him, you know, his career was, you know, he was in Manhattan. He worked at the Fan.
Right.
Number one market in the country, right? And this, I venture to say this is probably one of his favorite jobs, right?
Yeah, so Imus was his morning show, and Mike and the Mad Dog was his afternoon show.
Yeah.
Right. Can't be that hard to sell that.
Really great talent here. And Stu's an example of that.
So sales is one department.
Yep.
Programming is another.
Mm-hmm.
That's led by Keith Dakin.
Yep, and under programming, marketing falls under programming. So marketing would be Drew and his team.
And so the programming department, what do they do?
is that it? Are you being sarcastic? No, I'm just kidding. So Keith oversees, basically, I like to explain it to someone that doesn't understand radio, oversees anything that's not, that comes out of the speakers that's not a commercial, right? So promos, oversees the jocks, you and your group, and the programmers below him. So there's someone that programs Star and WICC and Weeby and so on. And so those two guys, Alan and Kevin, report up to Keith. And they schedule the music. So basically, again, whatever you hear that comes out of the speakers, that's not a commercial, falls under his purview.
He's another guy. I think he just, some article just came out. He won another award, didn't he? Or he's
I just got an email about it, actually. One of the top programmers in the country.
Yeah. Yeah, a guy from Boston.
Right, another person we're lucky to have, you know.
Yeah, he could easily be anywhere in the country.
And was. Yeah, same, like Stu, was in a big market, was in Boston, and came here.
So there's sales.
You probably don't know he was going to lose his job when... But I said, no, he's got to run PLR. And he said to me, this is when we were selling stations. I don't know if you remember, but it was probably back in like 2010, maybe 9. We were selling some stations down in Norwalk and Stamford, and we were bringing the Norwalk people up here. And I said, he had originally come to be the program director of a different station. And I said, you're going to be the program director of PLR, but you don't know that. I'm just telling you. And he's like, I don't know anything about rock music. I was like, you'll figure it out. And he did.
Yeah.
If you think about that, his history is an alternative music.
Oh, yeah. No, he totally did. What I really like, I think, most about your beginnings is most general managers start in sales and work their way into this management position. And you started behind the control board.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wanted to be on the air. So in high school, I went to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. And
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that you started in the studio. I love that.
Yeah. I really wanted to be on the air. But I quickly learned I could make a lot more. A lot of money.
You're like, wait a minute. The on-air people are coming in wearing T-shirts that were given to them by the record companies.
Right. The salespeople have Louis Vuitton bags. Like, yeah, I want that.
Yeah,
right?
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm so grateful for that, you know, learning that part of the business. And it was, gave me the confidence to walk in and get that first sales job. But sales was where I was meant to be.
I like the little light that went off in your head. About radio. And it was a story that you shared with me about your mom who had just a personal question she wanted to have. Resolved, some issue that she was having.
Yeah.
And she thought to go to the local radio guy to ask him because she felt such a, she had never met him, but she felt such a connection to him that she thought this is the guy I could turn to. And that planted the seed in your head that there's something about this radio that people connect to.
Right. WATR in Waterbury. Yeah, yeah. That was the station. And it was a very serious question. She needed help, and that was her. Can you imagine to think about how amazing the connection is between a radio personality and a listener to this day, that you feel that close connection? And I thought I always wanted to be a part of that because that was, I was very young and I remember that distinctly.
And the first radio station you worked at, you ended up running into Trump, and it was such a Trump moment. He only said like a sentence to you, but it was so Trump. It's insane.
Well, that was actually after my first radio job.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I met a lot of interesting people at the first station I worked at. The first station I worked at is in Litchfield, and it's owned by Dick Ebersol, who at the time was the president of NBC Sports, and Susan St. James, who I remember as a kid growing up with Kate and Kate and Allie. And so that was like the show that I grew up watching amongst, you know, Who's the Boss and all these other shows.
Yeah.
I had read in the Litchfield County Times, you know, the newspaper that came to my mailbox every week, that WZBG was going on the air, and I went and I asked for a job, and there's a guy by the name of Jerry Wheezy and Michael Collins, who is no longer with us, but Jerry still now works at Nielsen, and they gave me a job. I was 16 years old, and it was really neat to be able to be amongst, you know, Dick and Susan, and there were a lot of other interesting people that built that radio station. And man, am I fortunate for those 2 years.
So that isn't where you met Trump.
No, that's a different story for a different podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he was walking across a helicopter came in, right?
And after I worked at WZBG, I spent a summer as a nanny for a guy in Mount Kisco by the name of Nelson Peltz. And Trump used to come for dinner and luncheons. And this was in 94, 95. So he was a big real estate guy. And I knew who he was, right? And the property that I worked on was, you know, it's a very well-known estate. And he landed his helicopter, and he came over to me, and I was, 17, 18 years old. And he said, could you see my helicopter as I was approaching? Could you see that it said Trump? It was a black helicopter with white writing, Trump. And I said, I knew he was, but I didn't really. I was like, well, not really. And he was like, you couldn't see Trump in the sky. I was like, no, I'm sorry. I couldn't.
And
anyway,
it's so
it was an
Trump.
Interesting day,
it's so Trump,
least.
Isn't it?
And
it's so Trump.
Yeah,
it's so Trump. It's not so like, Trump. Hey, how you doing? Like, hey, did you
but
see?
Like, we didn't have phones back then.
Did you see my name?
Had a picture or something, you know?
Did you see my name on the helicopter? That's all I want to know. I don't care who you are, what your name is, why you're here. Did you see my name on the helicopter? I love it. It's so him.
He was landing to have lunch with Mariah Carey, and I was the assigned nanny for the day.
Holy shit.
Yeah, Tommy Mottola.
Did you hang out with Mariah Carey?
Yeah, and that was, she was a big deal then.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
I know. It is crazy to think. Now she's kind of a hot mess, but not then.
I still have affection for her because of everything that she's been through. And she still, you know, you can't deny she had the greatest voice.
I saw her at Mohegan Sun 2 years ago for the Christmas show. I think it was Mohegan Sun. And I was so devastated when someone told me it was all tracked. Because, man, I thought she sounded great.
Yeah, that New York, the Christmas tree lighting show, that was bad. And then she blamed everybody for it. I'm like, nah, you got to come and you got to do your sound check and you got to do your prep. And once you think that, you know, Sinatra said it, as soon as you stop caring about your audience, they'll stop caring about you.
Yeah.
And she stopped caring about her audience, unfortunately. But still, oh my God, in the 80s, the hottest thing.
It was a treat.
You've worked at all kinds of different radio stations in Connecticut. You worked at KCI when KCI was really having a run against PLR.
Yeah. They were, that's probably, you know, the time they gave them their biggest run, right? I mean, for their money. Glenn Beck was the morning guy.
Who went on to be Fox News, and he was on CNN Headline News, has his own company now.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Big talent, yeah. So I was in sales in Hamden, selling KC101. That was in the late 90s. And then I went to work in Hartford to sell WZMX, which at the time was a dance and oldies station. So I spent a few years there. And
when you
then
were at
I went
KCI,
down.
That was the general manager that was there. Her name was Faith.
Yeah, infamous.
I met her once, but I heard about her a million times. How she was.
So I was lucky enough to work, and I do consider myself lucky to have worked for her. She was the general manager when I was there, and she was zany, but in a great way, right? Super quirky, but nobody could sell better than her. And so she had so much passion for that radio station and great relationships with clients. And so she was, and she understood fun. You know, I think fun in the workplace is really important, and Faith got that.
So you go from KCI, Hartford, and then you end up at I-95, right?
No, I ended up at WEBE and WICC.
Right.
I was hired as a salesperson. Then I was promoted to sales manager, and I was there from like maybe 2000 to 2008.
That's
and
a nice
2008,
run.
And in 2008, the company that owned it at the time, it had gone through some different ownership changes, put me as a general manager because they owned I-95. So I moved over. It was the same company, different job. I moved over to I-95, which for me was better. It was closer to my house. And I oversaw those radio stations in that cluster as well as the stations Cumulus owned in Westchester.
Right. So you went from a sales manager to general manager.
Yeah.
Which is a big joke. So this is the next, when you're a sales manager, you would like to be a general manager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not everybody, right? But I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is typical that you would want that. And so I felt really honored to run I-95 because much like PLR, that was a station, you know, because I lived up there. So I didn't grow up in the Haven area. Everybody listened to PLR, of course, but I-95 was right up there. And so there were and there were many legends that went through that radio station.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit similar history to PLR in that respect. And I was really honored to have that job. I did not love the company, which, you know.
It happens. It happens. Yeah.
It happened. And, you know, Kim, who we talked about before, Guthrie, talked to me about coming to Cox, and that's when I came to Cox, and it was the best decision I made, and now Connoisseur Media.
But that other company loved you so much, they wanted to keep you.
Cumulus?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that ended up being a real expensive, highly publicized lawsuit, and
they didn't want you to go.
I got out.
See what happens when you're well liked.
I don't know. I don't think that was it. But thank you. I think I was the poster child.
Can
for
I tell you
why
something?
Someone shouldn't leave. Yeah, if I survived. Thanks to Kim Guthrie.
If you had no value, they would have been like, "Thank you very much.
Oh,
see ya."
What a nightmare! I thank my lucky stars I'm where I am today. I almost didn't survive that.
Really? Was that really tough? I mean, it's got to be tough, right? You got to sit there and, like, you're doing depositions and all that shit with lawyers, and you're like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, it was over $1 million in legal fees.
Wow.
For that case, yeah.
Wow. Well,
not out of my pocket. I would not have, if I had to pay that, I wouldn't have had a job, obviously. So, but between the two companies together.
Yeah.
So could you imagine someone being so mad at you that they would spend hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars?
Yeah, but you
and
know what?
If they won, what was I going to give them?
No, but a company won't do that if you're not worth that. Like, yeah. Even if they're pissed at you, if you didn't bring anything to the table, they'd be like, get the F out. Good.
But the truth is, in the moment, you're not thinking that. You're terrified.
Oh, yeah.
It's really an awful experience. So I can look back on that and a little bit get some of that and feel like, but you're not thinking that as you're going through it.
No. No, not at all.
Not when you're sitting in federal court and being cross-examined by a very powerful, expensive attorney.
Oh, yeah,
and you're like, wait, I don't understand. The last guy that was sitting in this chair, he just murdered somebody. Like,
right.
I just want a job.
Right. I just got a job. Don't you want people like me?
He was like shackles. I don't understand.
Yeah, so that had to be hell. But in the end, worth it. And, it's people
totally.
Like Kim Guthrie who identify talent. Shit hits the fan, says, yep, it's worth the fight. And
yeah,
look
she
at
stood
that.
By me.
Yeah.
Big deal. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for that.
She's one of those people. I probably have five or six people that I could click off that really give me a lot of faith in this business because they were in it or are
yeah.
in it. And she's one of them.
Yeah.
And Jeff Warshaw is another.
100%. I mean, I'm sure you felt like I did at the time, like, how could it get better than Cox when they were selling us? Like,
exactly.
It was a little bit depressing, right? And, like, who's going to buy us? What's it going to be? And
were you getting ready to...
It's been an incredible, wonderful ride, and Jeff is...
Oh, yeah.
I consider a friend, a mentor, and I think I would do anything for him, and I feel the same way back. And to you, too. I think he adores you.
Oh, yeah. I, from my humble beginnings listening to PLR, to not only be on the station, but to be... having lunch with the owner, it still blows my mind. I'm like, I don't really believe this is like, he'll email me and say, you want to have lunch? I'm like, I think to myself, really? Don't you have like important things to do? And so it blows my mind that, he would do that. And I've worked for big companies. I've worked for ABC Radio and where you're just a number. This is a great company to work for because it's big enough to have muscle on its bone, like they have
yeah.
the kind of morning show that we do and they have the kind of
yeah.
staff we do in the building. But also, it's small enough to be personable and to be sitting across to know the owner.
Right. Well, I mean, when I met Jeff when he bought the radio stations, I had only heard of him. I had no relationship with him at all. And he said he made a joke that he knew me because of the lawsuit. And he had read about me. And he said... at the time, remember, Weeby is owned by Kim Ellis, and he said to me, I mean, I'm just telling the story because this is like what an awesome guy he is. He said, we're going to buy Weeby, like to stick it to him. And I thought, like, first of all, how are you going to pull that off? Like, it's, it's a lot of stations in the market. And he did.
Yeah.
And he laughs that he to think it came full circle that this whole lawsuit, which really was led by Weeby, not I-95. I just happened to be at I-95 at the time. But it was that we ended up buying, that he bought that radio station, and now I'm back running it. I can't think of a better job. Like, PLR, Weeby, Star, I mean,
He's, it's infectious to be around him. He makes me excited about being in radio. And, like, when we heard that, so Cox, great company, they own the radio station, and then they come in and say, yep, the station's up for sale. I thought, oh, shit, time to get going. And I just picked up the phone and started, every contract period, I think I should have some plans just ready, just in case, because I'm that guy. Like, I don't take anything for granted.
I'm with you.
I was on the phone like a,
right.
Because it's not going to get better than this.
No.
And it did.
No, we're so fortunate. Yeah. I mean, God, I'm very lucky.
Through history, and this is what I think makes WPLR so special, that it's been lucky enough to be in the hands of the right people. And that's where this station has been so blessed. Blessed by the listeners that love it to death.
Yes.
And blessed
so
by the people who've owned it.
Well, right. I mean, and I think part of PLR's success is that, you know, whether it's you or Keith or myself or anyone involved, you know, we're able to use our gut a little bit, right? It's not all, it's like we know what we have to do, but there's been a lot of instances, whether it was, you know, going back to Sandy Hook or going back to a weather event, not nearly as tragic, but whatever it may be, and say, you know what, like, playing rock music right now just doesn't feel right, and we're gonna do something different. And so I think that we have the freedom and the flexibility to use the station how we think the community needs it the most at this time. And that is often the missing ingredient, and that's what makes a great radio station great.
Yeah. Right.
Only get to play two songs. You only have to play two songs an hour.
I'm working on one, but two.
I know. Sometimes I think it is one.
Well, I'm very fortunate to be a part of this whole thing. And thanks for coming on and talking. And here's to another 50.
Yes. Thanks for taking the time. It's an honor to be a part of this podcast series. And I just feel lucky to even be a small part of PLR's present success.
Well, happy birthday, WPLR.
Yeah, happy birthday. Thanks, Chaz.
Thank you.